Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thing to Kaya Biz. If you know anything about the show and our focus on the advancement of women in the economy, you'd be well aware that we have a heightened level of attention that we place on women entrepreneurs. And the truth is, we continue to rally the call for more women to enter the business foray by venturing into business, being more optimistic and bullish and taking on the risk to actually explore. But what we are finding is that there's a number of reasons that actually see more women exiting business activity and just deciding, let me close shop, than those who actually actively open up new businesses, diversify their business investments, and actively take the bull by the horns. And to help us understand this now, we're joined by Natanya Meyer, Associate Professor at the University of Johannesburg and lead author of the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor Report by Stellenbosch Business School. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Prof. Meyer.
Thanks so much. Likewise.
Fantastic. I'm excited about this conversation, but I'm also a little bit, I nearly said embarrassed, because I think I'm one of those South African women who have invested in businesses before, but also perhaps take a very shy view in terms of being a lot more aggressive and bolder in venturing into sectors that we might not be familiar with. So maybe let's talk about that theme, how we don't necessarily, we have opportunities for female entrepreneurs in the country, but we're not fully capitalizing on being bold and aggressive in stepping into new markets and territories.
Yeah, I think if I can add to that reason, or what we think might be some of the reasons why women don't act up and step into those areas, as you say, one of the things we measure in the GEM, or the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, is the mindset of people. And when we look at, we have four specific variables that we look at there. So firstly, perceived opportunity. And here we see that men have higher perceived opportunity than women. So it's the same opportunities. I mean, we're in the same country with the same environment around us. But for some reason, men see opportunities much easier or act on them much higher than women entrepreneurs or women in general. The next one we look at is perceived capabilities. Now, this includes like your skill set, your self-efficacy rate. Do you think as a person you are actually capable to act on this opportunity and start a business or do something? And unfortunately, here we also see that men are much higher than women. It's about 5 or 6% higher. So that's quite a lot. Then the thing that stands out, and I think this is unfortunately a woman's thing that maybe is attached to our emotional side or something, is the fact of fear of failing. And here we also see that women have a higher fear of failure. Over 50% of all women in our sample have a fear of failure for starting something. So you might see opportunity, you might think you have the skills, but just because you are too scared to fail or too scared to take a risk, because we know women are mostly more risk averse than men, you don't take that opportunity. And then the last one is networking. We often see that women, and it's not necessarily all women, established women who are, you know, in the right circles and who've been around the block, if I can put it like that, they have created better networks. But for that woman or that lady who starts something brand new, this is all new territory to her. She doesn't have networks. She doesn't know where to start. She doesn't want to incorporate herself into traditional networks where it's very much male-dominated. So that is the problem we see. But I just want to quickly add a positive, because, you know, it's sometimes so depressing just talking about all the negative things, because this report has got some positives as well. And I want to focus on that a little bit more, if you allow me.
Sure.
So these four indicators that I read now almost says that women in general are performing worse off than men when we look at those four indicators. But when we isolate the sample and just take women entrepreneurs, because what the GEM does, we measure adult population, the consensus of the adult population about entrepreneurship, and then obviously we isolate the ones who are entrepreneurs and those who aren't. Now, when we look at the sample that just has women entrepreneurs, what we see is totally different. Then we see that these women actually now see opportunities higher or more than men entrepreneurs. So not the general population, just the entrepreneur population. They now perceive that they do have the capability, because they've actually taken the risk, acted on the opportunity, and proven themselves that they can do it. So in this category, women perceive to have higher capabilities than men. Unfortunately, the fear of failure is still slightly higher than men, not so much than the other category that includes the adult population. And networking is on par. So now a woman has, so this is why it's so critical that we get young ladies and young women into business from an early stage.
Yeah.
Because the moment you get them into that position, regardless of it's through a mentor or a family business or whatever the case may be, all of these mindset factors drastically change to a positive. And that is what we need to focus on. Not the negatives, we need to focus on the positive things.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad you mentioned that. It almost sounds as though for many women, and I think I fall very easily into that category, you almost need to see tangible evidence of being capable of something before the confidence really does come about there. So I guess it speaks to, even when women are granted these opportunities, are mentored, sponsored, supported, given the finance, that there's another layer of perhaps psychological safety, psychological awareness that actually needs to be provided, right?
Definitely. And this is why if we look at things like mentorship and coaching, business incubation and accelerators, networking opportunities, support for work-life balance, policy and advocacy support. There's so many things, tailored training and education. These are just some of the recommendations that we could actually spend the whole day on discussing that needs to be tailored to specifically focus on women as well. And I'm not saying it's not done. There's a lot of brilliant programs and support initiatives already there. I think sometimes the lack of knowing that it's there is a big problem. And then again, that fear of failure. So now you see this advertisement with, you know, enter this program and we'll help you set up your business. But immediately you're thinking of all the negative things and, oh, how am I going to do it? How am I going to balance my child's responsibility, cleaning the house, doing this, taking that, you know, all of that. And sometimes I think we just need to support each other and just take the risk. It's okay to fail. People think sometimes, especially in the world of business, you know, that it's sort of a disgrace. It's not, because every time you act on something and you actually take the risk to do it, even if you fail, you have learned something and you've become stronger as a person in that. And I think this type of mentality and mindset is what we need to imprint on our young generation of ladies. I'm not saying the older ones are lost and we can't change them, but you know, we're sitting with this huge gold mine of young women in our country that we can really get into taking the risk and taking the opportunity to start something.
I'm also keen just to hear from your perspective, Prof. Mayor. You've been in this business for quite a while and have witnessed studies locally, abroad, and of course the varying aspects of ensuring that women are able to be more proactive in businesses. Despite the unlocking of capital, despite the unlocking of mentorship and program-specific themes or incubators that are focused on women, what is working and where else can we improve just to accelerate the development of female entrepreneurship?
I think, you know, if we look at some differences that we see in other countries, especially European countries, those type of things, there's a difference in the culture often. And I think this is something that's not so easy to change. Some traditional ways of just this is a woman's role and this is a man's role, we still see it a lot in South African cultures. Maybe not everywhere. Maybe, again, the younger generations are moving slightly out of this type of stigmatization. But we unfortunately do still see it. A lot of European countries and even probably American states as well, it's almost equal in the household. You know, you're a woman, but you work or have a business just as a man. It's not that you need to wash the washing, you need to look after the kids, you need to do X, Y, Z, and the man provides. And I think this is a cultural thing. And for me, that is why it's so important that we send the message out there, that there's more media attention on this, that people are aware, you know, that this stigmatization around women and the role they need to play in society needs to change. And I'm not saying, you know, we all need to now put on our male pants and all become men in the country. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to understand that there's more to women than just, you know, being in the house and doing X, Y, Z in these stereotypical environments that we live in. Mm. And the only way we're going to get past that, to a certain extent, of course, is by really bringing it out there and putting this force in either the media or in schools or education systems where people can just get educated. That's not the only way.
What I'm also intrigued by, as you have actively participated in the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor report, is that, as we know, once you're in the boardroom, once it's you need to get operations going, an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur. And fundamentally, you need skills and critical thinking, self-awareness, self-mastery to get you through, and a formidable team, right, to actually get the operations going. Yes. In order to make sure that right across the spectrum, male or female, regardless of background, culture and creed, that we build up a theme of capacitated entrepreneurs in South Africa. And I say this deliberately, not just survivalist, not just looking to drive an extra income or revenue stream by you know, providing basic services, but entrepreneurs who can really scale their businesses effectively. What additional technical skills should we be considering in the future as South Africans?
Yeah, I think before I answer that question, I just want to also share something interesting to you or with you and the listeners about, you said about sectors and areas where women work in and men work in.
Yes.
When we look at some of the data that we also found, we know there's many sectors in the economy, so we group them into four main groupings, which we called extractive, which basically includes your industries, that's oil, gas, mining, agriculture; transformative, which includes manufacturing, transport; business services, which includes stuff like communication, professional services; and then the last one, consumer services or consumer orientated services, which includes things like hotels, restaurants, retail, personal services, etc. And we see that the bulk of women starting businesses, and remember, we focus more on SMEs, it's not necessarily large companies that's really scaled up. It's more important for us to look at these early stages and established businesses in the SME sector. We see that most women are in the customer-orientated sector, 76.7 to 81, depending on do we look at early stage or all businesses. So there is, I'm not saying it's a fundamental problem, but for some reason, women don't think that they can enter some of these other sectors. And coming back to, you know, how do we get businesses to scale or you know, grow or get bigger? Unfortunately, a lot of businesses in the consumer service-orientated sector tend to remain small because there's just so much competition. The reason why there's so many there is because it's obviously easy access to market. It's not that much capital you need.
Yes.
You know, it's a quick fix to start something if you needed to. It's not necessarily opportunity-driven. It might be necessity-driven, like you said. But we need to train people to be able, because obviously you can't just become a miner or someone working in the mining industry if you don't have the relevant skills and experience. So I think what would be fabulous here is if tertiary institutions, regardless if it's a university or technicon or whatever, actually promote programs specifically aimed at women in mining, women in transportation, women in agriculture. And we see such programs. It's not that this is now something I'm just making up and it's this wild thing. There are such programs, but I think the impact they are having on women entering in some of these previously female-restricted sectors, if I can put it like that, there needs to be some way to get them more into these type of areas. And as I say, we are seeing it, especially in the agriculture. There's so many women these days that actually farm, regardless if it's small scale or on bigger scale. But I think that could be something, if we can upscale that, because for that you need a little bit more of a skill set, you know, technical skill set or educational background to enter into those. Or even if it's just mentorship programs within some of these sectors, where people, where there's programs specifically for women to enter into these industries and to get the access into these industries a little bit easier for them.
Definitely. Oh, Natanya, Prof. Meyer, you've hit the nail on the head and jolted some of us into a position of greater understanding and more confidence that we need now. Because it does get challenging, as you say. We typically stick to the services sector. If someone says, oh, well, I need a company that does heavy lifting equipment in mining, that's typically when we shrug and shy away. But more opportunities need to be brought to the table. And we also need to step up to say, okay, I'll figure it out as I go. Thank you for your time this evening. There's so much more we'll discuss in the weeks to come, and looking forward to hearing more of your insights on these
developments. This is just the tip of the iceberg, so please make sure to get the report and see there's still a lot of very, very interesting information on women in business in the report.
Where can we find the report, Prof. Mayor?
Well, there's a few websites where it's posted. It's on the Stellenbosch website, also on the University of Johannesburg. But if you just enter Global Entrepreneurship Monitor Consortium, you will see all the reports of all the countries on there. And then if you look under Report South Africa, you'll be able to find ours with the other national reports we've published so far. I can send you the information and you can maybe put it on your Facebook or email or website or wherever if people are interested.
Perfect. We'll certainly do that. Thank you
so
much.
Thanks so much for your time. Have a brilliant evening. Keep well.
Take care. That's Professor Natanya Meyer, Associate Professor at the University of Johannesburg and lead author of the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor Report by Stellenbosch Business School. Ladies, let me know if you agree with the feedback we heard in that conversation. And gentlemen, as we know, it's all about allyship. Help us understand some of your thoughts as to how we unlock these factors of broadening the scope of economies that women are in and keeping women in business, really, on an ongoing basis, despite the ebbs and flows.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.